We'll now hear from the man who's become an absolute keystone for the developing partnership between the church and the Metropolitan Police and other law enforcement agencies. Detective Inspector Kevin Hyland spearheaded the Met's human trafficking unit and has dedicated himself into developing a specialist service which works closely with NGOs and religious sisters, some of whom are here today, who help in supporting trafficking victims. Please give Kevin Hyland a warm welcome.
Your Eminences, Your Graces, ladies and gentlemen, today I have the honour of speaking to this international audience about how partnerships have been effective in London to combat human trafficking and modern slavery. My unit has partners that come from a wide range of statutory and non-statutory agencies, locally, nationally and internationally. We have achieved significant results through European joint investigation teams supported by Europol, the National Crime Agency and Eurojust, and through bilateral agreements within and outside of the European Union. Using these instruments has been an essential tool to combat these transnational crimes. In London, the introduction of direct crime reporting, accessing specialist officers, a free phone helpline, and standing operating procedures for the entire Metropolitan Police are all effective management systems. However, management is the means of getting things done. Leadership is setting out what you want done and directing others how to achieve it. I wanted, in fact, insisted, my team worked with me as public servants alongside other organisations with a common goal: to reduce harm to the vulnerable, bring offenders to justice, and provide the highest standards of support and care to victims. We had to be effective in these aims, but needed to achieve these with humility. These could just be hollow words, but as we know, actions speak louder than words. My team quickly discovered our partners, particularly from civil society, brought added value. Compassion to victims, access to the intelligence we often cannot reach, a wider view of opinions and ideas, allowing for transparency, accountability, and the public confidence we strive to achieve. But how does this happen? Sometimes we'll have competing demands. What efforts in law enforcement should we put into partnerships with civil society? And can they really pay dividends? In the autumn of 2010, soon after the human trafficking unit was established, a women's group from a Catholic church in a small town in the south of England asked for information on human trafficking. I agreed, and in a church hall, I provided the same kind of presentation I'd previously given to far more official and potentially influential gatherings. This group was shocked, but moreover ashamed that slavery and abuse of this kind still occurred anywhere, not to mention in one of the most global cities in the world. They committed to do something, and at the very least, raise awareness with their peers and communities. Soon after, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales asked for a similar presentation. I described the objectives of my unit to the bishops, giving reassurances that we focused on the care of the victims of human trafficking, highlighting our need to work with hard-to-reach communities, but also that we had a mandate to prosecute offenders that would and should lead to lengthy custodial sentences. Bishop Pat Lynch facilitated links with the Catholic and wider communities where trafficking was prevalent. Together, the church, police, politicians, and others from civil society participated in a series of presentations, radio and media interviews, meetings with the ethnic chaplains, and linked up with a number of congregations of religious sisters who were already providing support to victims of trafficking and exploitation. We established a wide range of partners, religious and secular, not just in London, but further afield, both domestically and internationally. But what of real outcomes? What can be achieved? A European-funded project between the Metropolitan Police Human Trafficking Unit, local authorities, and religious sisters has been in place for the past year across two London boroughs. This has over 400 community volunteers who gather intelligence and carry out action days to disrupt criminals by removing adverts that promote brothels and provide education through local seminars and awareness-raising events. The project has overseas partners, the Lithuanian Children's Ombudsman, Caritas Lithuania and Borgerete here in Italy, who work with the London team to develop prevention and victim support measures. So far, these two London boroughs on this project have identified over 250 exploited women, 40 of these confirmed as trafficked, all of whom have received support from the Religious Sisters. Only recently, as a part of a joint day of action by officers from my team, volunteers and the Religious Sisters, we made visits to brothels where a 15-year-old girl and a 25-year-old woman who had just been trafficked into the UK for sexual exploitation were located, and they were rescued from their situation. In the safety and care of the sisters' premises, the woman disclosed she had been raped an hour before our arrival. She would have not made this disclosure to police. And this led to immediate arrests for rape and trafficking. But importantly, the 15-year-old is now back with her family and the woman is safe. Astonishingly, this joint project has played a key role in the identification and prosecution of a well-established and profitable Russian human trafficking gang. It has also funded training for every frontline police officer working on these two London boroughs. During the 2012 Olympics, a centre owned by Religious Sisters was available 24 hours a day for the entire period of the Games and Paralympics to respond to traffic victims. Officers from my team, special police constables, healthcare professionals, volunteers and the sisters worked together throughout this major sporting event to provide this service. On numerous occasions, Religious Sisters have cared for our victims, not just at the point of rescue, but through their recovery and during demanding court trials. Their houses provide the tranquility and peace a victim needs and deserves whilst reliving their horrors to a courtroom. Working with a homeless charity in London, of which Cardinal Vincent is the patron, intelligence was provided to my team that allowed us to identify an organised gang of criminals who were planning to traffic vulnerable homeless men to London. This triggered arrests in the source country, preventing the inevitable exploitation taking place. These are some, but by no means all, of the interactions and partnerships we have developed with civil society, and in particular with the Catholic Church. In law enforcement, we have the technical and legal know-how. Our partners bring the real added value. However, what next? What is this leading to? In London, there's to be a centre funded by the Catholic Church that will act as a hub, coordinating local, national, and international responses and services. It will have partners from law enforcement, doctors, health specialists, educationalists, and other stakeholders to put the victim at the centre of everything. A religious order of sisters, whose proven record of accomplishment is unrivaled, will provide the well-being and long-term care of victims. Where it's in the best interest of a victim, the project will assist to repatriate and reintegrate victims safely back to their own countries through current networks. Using expert lawyers working on a pro bono basis, compensation and civil remedies will be sought through employment tribunals, civil courts and criminal injuries, allowing victims to become financially independent, rebuilding their lives. Victims themselves will be involved in the development of this service. This unique project and the uniqueness of it is the partnership between the Catholic Church, law enforcement and civil society from the outset, working to support victims and prosecute offenders and delivering prevention programs in the United Kingdom and countries of origin. I said actions speak louder than words, and this shows how partnerships are making a real difference, helping in the fight against organized crime, the fight against wholesale abuse of the vulnerable, changing lives, indeed saving lives. Going back to where I started, many of these relationships are a consequence of the initial meeting in a small church hall in southern England. Indeed, this conference today and us all being here is also a consequence of that very event. Unbeknown to anyone at the time when I gave that presentation, it is actually the very parish where in 1785 the British anti-slavery movement was born, when Thomas Clarkson stopped whilst travelling from Cambridge to London, having won an award for his writings on the slave trade. It was whilst in that town that he decided to campaign to abolish slavery, later gaining support of a then young Member of Parliament, William Wilberforce. It is to our shame and disgrace that almost 230 years later, this abuse is still alive and even more profitable in our society. Never underestimate the power and influence of our communities and civil society. Each and every one of us has a duty, an opportunity to work together to eliminate this violent abuse against humanity and serious organised crime. As leaders, we should know when an opportunity presents itself and realise a missed opportunity may never resurface. Let's not miss this opportunity. Thank you.